audio postcard. What's the strangest, biggest, or heaviest thing you have ever carried on a bicycle? First thing that comes to mind is a big old screen door from the rebuild center. That was an odd thing, hard to actually get on the bike. Luckily, I was test riding a Yuba Mundo, which is a big cargo bike that has these huge side struts. So I went down to rebuild center purposely to try to give that thing a good go around and found a screen door, which I happened to need for the house. But I don't know if you ever tried to put a screen door on a bicycle, regardless of whether or not it's a cargo bicycle or not, but it's darn awkward. So there I was in the parking lot struggling. There's kind of that funny feeling when you're feeling good that you're on your bicycle and darn it, you're going to get home from the rebuild center on your bike, but then you're struggling to actually attach the thing to your bike. So you're like, the people in their cars are kind of snickering, or the guy in his truck is kind of looking at you like, hey, if you just had a truck, you'd be home already. So some guy took pity on me and he like walks over and starts trying to help me. I think he tracked down some straps, and anyway, we ended up getting it strapped on, and I got it home, and it turned out fine. The screen door survived. I made for some great photographs, which I'm always happy to take too. So actually, I had to have a friend get on the bike and do some photographs. But there was that screen door. Yeah, it was an awkward, odd shaped thing. I'm Jonathan Maas, and you're listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.
Nah, I got it memorized.
You should. You've had it memorized for years.
Kind of. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations with somewhat faulty technology, while also thinking about things that happen in the larger world around us.
Covering bicycling, trains, transit, trying to man the board and talk at the same time. And today we have with us one of my favorite guests, Allison Wiley.
She actually famously is the author of the only blog on the internet.
The only blog, yes. Ever.
Yes.
You guys are too funny.
Allison Wiley.
Hello. It's very fun to be back with you. Always a good time here.
Yeah, thanks for coming back.
Thank you for putting up with our hijinks. Good to see you again. It's been, we were saying before we pressed record that it's been too long. So thank you for coming back.
It's a pleasure.
And just in case no one remembers, we should mention that you and Corey Poole spent a lot of time commuting together.
We are carpool partners, and I'm the reason that Corey Poole knows you.
That's excellent.
It makes me proud.
Yeah. He's a great guy, and I'm jealous of anyone who gets to spend that much time with him. So I need to go by his house more often. I actually go by his house almost every day, but it's at 5 in the morning.
I actually owe him an attendance to a longboarding lesson.
Oh.
That he wants to get me on a longboard.
Gotcha. And who wouldn't?
Right. Yeah. And I keep like kind of pushing back, like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I never do.
Okay. And when you're on a longboard, you want to push forward. Am I right? So, that's got to be done.
So terrible.
I know. That's how we roll here. I'll just keep shoehorning in the skating puns until there are no more to be had.
So what are you drinking, Brock?
We are sharing. Allison, what is this called? I can't quite read the label there.
That you bought me a bottle of Italian Dublin sparkling wine.
Aha. Okay. Yes. You would ask for sparkling wine, and it's that's classy. And we are not classy people. So I wasn't quite sure what I was going for.
So you got the black and white label?
I did get the black and white label. I figured in its price bracket, it looked like the best option. So cheers. And
cheers.
Thank you again for coming out.
Cheers.
So it's still cold. It's, I don't know. It's not cold like compared. And again, Phil, I'm sorry. Phil in Alaska.
Every time we complain about the cold, Phil kills another bear.
He's exactly. Yes. And he'll continue to do so until we toughen up.
That's right.
Yes. Also, anyone in the
toughen
Midwest.
Toughen up for the bears, guys. Yeah. Toughen up for the bears.
We're going to talk a little bit later about how you you had an experience with an airline, and you went to Michigan.
Yeah.
So was it cold in Michigan?
Honestly, it feels colder here, though, as far as temperature-wise. Like, I was in the mid-20s the whole time.
Okay.
And it was really windy.
Gotcha. So wind chill.
But it was mostly dry. And I think the big difference between there and here is the fact that there's so much moisture in the air. Like, it literally sucks all the heat off your body. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so I can't really say, but
I think latent heat transfer has something to do with that.
I was wearing, maybe, I don't know, I was wearing less layers.
Okay.
And I was biking around, you know, and there's like nothing to stop the wind.
Right.
You know, you've seen the pictures. It's all just open fields yeah. over there.
Just like Iowa, entirely flat.
Pretty
no
much.
No hills whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, including the corn.
It's not true. But I will talk about that later on, yeah, yeah. including your folding bicycle that you took along with you.
Oh, beautiful bike.
Yeah. Yeah. I just used relay rides for the first time. Allison, are you familiar with relay rides?
They sound really familiar to me, but I haven't used them.
It's basically the same idea as get around, where people have private cars that they own. They don't use them all the time, so they put them up for rent. It's like the Airbnb of cars.
Yes.
If that helps anybody understand it.
How is that different from get around?
It's a different brand.
But essentially the same.
The difference is we've talked to the guy from Get Around. We don't know the people at Relay Rides.
So if you're from Relay Rides and you're listening, come talk to us.
Right, right. And actually, I think I'm trying to remember why I chose one over the other. I think it was the availability of a Prius because I wanted to get really good gas mileage.
Right on.
Turns out, I got there's this great this guy lives downtown. He lives near what used to be PGE Park, which used to be Jeldwin Field, which is now Providence Park. Where they
oh,
play
really?
Soccer. Yeah.
He kept referring to it as Gelled Wind.
Oh, yeah. They lost the sponsorship, apparently.
Whoops.
I guess
so easy to drop behind the times.
Seriously. How often do they do that? Do you know?
I think every 2 years that place switches over.
That
no
means
kidding.
They've got to like re-record the Max announcements. They got to redo all the signs. Like that's a really expensive sponsorship. Like by the time they're done redoing all the stuff, all the infrastructure
they
around the name
do
of
it
the park,
again.
Yeah, they don't have any money left over. Like who knows?
Oh man,
that's my guess. But anyways,
just not worth it, guys.
Right, right.
Corporations, it's just not worth it.
So I rented a car from the guy who lived down by the park with shifting names, and he was a super cool guy. He kept the car clean, stocked with mints, and all the charging cables you could possibly need for any phone that exists.
Say what?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I grabbed the car. It was a 2005 Prius, so it was not the newest car. And I sound like I'm complaining or something. I'm not, because I got the car, and it was something cheap. It was like $30 a day or thereabouts. So it worked out really really nicely for us. But I think that's a really great option. And sometimes, I don't know if you ever feel the grind of the no car lifestyle.
Only when I need to go pretty far or like carry a lot of stuff.
Right, right. And, Adele, my wife often, complains about the fact that like she would like to go hiking more often, but, hiking is hard to do here because like the bike ride out to the places where you would go hiking is already itself a hike. And then, you know, then you get there and you would maybe hike in the rain, but you wouldn't bike to a trailhead in the rain, like 30 miles each way or something.
No.
So,
I mean, one might want to bike in the rain. One might want to hike in the rain, but I can't imagine wanting to do both.
Right. Right.
Especially in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think everyone's probably clear, but if they're not, we should clear it up now. We're not anti-car. But we're definitely like low car, like, you know, don't use it more than you have to. Use it for the things it's good for.
I mean,
as a tool.
I'm sure we've said that a number of times, but it's always good to just bring that out.
Don't let it enable like a terrible lifestyle. So Get Around is a great option anyways. Get Around and Relay Rides, which is the one that I just used. I think the reason I use Relay Rides, honestly, is because the last time I talked about car sharing with somebody was Maria Schur, and that's what she uses.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think it was the one that was freshest in my memory.
Word of mouth.
Yeah.
It's the most powerful kind of advertisement.
No. So it was a good experience overall.
Great.
And I think I spent $26 to get 8 gallons of fuel, which took me to Tacoma, around Tacoma, and back over the course of 3 days.
That ain't half bad.
Yeah. So it worked out really nicely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a little plug out there. We're not sponsored by them, but we like them. Or I like them. I don't know if you like them or not.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't.
You're on the fence.
I don't have enough information to form an opinion at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I like the idea that the money is staying in the local economy.
Yes.
And I don't have anything against businesses, but in my mind, the smaller the business, the better. That money that you gave to this fellow who lives near the park with shifting names, That was money that went straight into the local economy.
Right.
Probably continue to circulate in this local economy.
And that parking permit and the studio apartment down there. It's not cheap. So right. If you have the asset like a car and you can leverage that, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was probably himself, as he went without his car, I would think he would be using Max because Max right. goes right by the park with shifting names.
Yeah. It's like five blocks away from where he lived or something. Really easy.
I hope this is a new trend for the name of that park, by the way.
Well, I'm trying to remember how many sports teams have used that field that are no longer in Portland. Because there was like the baseball team or whatever that now lives in Hillsboro.
Oh,
and
right.
I don't remember if the Lumberjacks played the lacrosse team. They don't exist anymore.
We had a lacrosse team?
We had at one time a lacrosse team. The Lumberjacks with an X at the end. Yeah.
All right. This is news to me. I'm glad that you can keep me up on Spectator Sports because I don't keep up on Spectator Sports.
I'm not a huge fan of Spectator Sports myself, but I like lacrosse because it's just like arcane enough. It's like candlepin bowling. It's like a thing that not a lot of people do. So,
yeah, I don't even know what that was that you just referred to.
Candlepin bowling. No. It's like regular 10-pin bowling, but with 15 pins that are exactly cylindrical, and you get five like ski balls to toss at them instead of an actual bowling ball.
If we're dealing with old-timey sports, I have a nephew who does curling.
Oh, yeah?
Down in Los Angeles.
Kidding.
In
really?
Los Angeles.
In L.A.?
In L.A.
Can you curl in L.A.?
Evidently, one can because my nephew does.
Yeah. That's awesome. And just as a refresh, I mean, curling is like the national sport of Canada or something, right? Or,
that's right.
It's probably not, but how does it work?
Oh, you'd have to ask me that.
It's not played with brooms, is it?
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the one where like you have the big granite like stone.
Okay.
Granite is stone, but you slide it along the ice and
yeah, big old
and you
puck.
Have people going before it like sweeping a path to,
the people
like,
who play it almost
it.
Look like they have OCD because they're very busily
yeah, very
sweeping the ice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a very quirky sport.
So where does the name come from? Like curling, is anything actually in the process of being curled, or is it like just a name for this
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, you got me there.
Kind of like nothing's being socked in soccer.
This is also true.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it is.
They wear long socks.
That's true.
So here's what I really think about sports. And this is where we come to talk about how we really feel, right guys? Right.
Unload it.
So what I think is great is that the three of us and a whole lot of other Portlanders and people all over Cascadia are using their bodies for transportation.
Yes.
And just one example is that I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, which people tend to think I'm terribly strange when I tell them this, but I only say it because I'm among friends. And I didn't walk, but I mostly ran to the Max.
Ah.
Because once I'm on the Max and I go down to Union Station, I can take the train at 6 o'clock in the morning to go down to Salem and do my job.
Oh, there we go.
And it is a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
And I know that that sounds strange, but being out there in the dark early morning, nobody's around, running at your own pace. The air is so fresh and clear and it's quiet. It feels like it's holy out there.
And no kidding.
Oh, it's beautiful. Huh. It's
what's
beautiful.
The, wasn't there like an old Gaelic tradition of like dawn being like the time between times where like, like the mystical things from another world could cross over into ours or something like that?
I think you're right. That yeah. it's supposed to be the in-between times
mm-hmm.
when day is becoming night or night is becoming day.
Right. So if you can find a cairn.
If I can find a cairn
and make a sunwise circle around it, you might make it to somewhere else, to Albion. I don't know. But yes, it's a beautiful time to be out.
And it's low carbon travel. In fact, heavy rail. Oh, yeah. I know you guys like trains as well as transit, as well mm-hmm. as bicycles,
big fan.
As well as walking.
Mm-hmm.
And heavy rail is actually the lowest carbon form of travel.
Yeah.
Unless you go by barge, which I don't know that any of us can commute by barge.
There's a Willamette River. I think we should put this together. I think we can make this happen. Mass transit by water. But the train is really, really good. It gets good marks.
It's a beautiful experience. You can walk around. You can do your stretching. You can chat with people. I've made a new friend. He has a seeing eye doc. He's going to come to my party. You guys are both invited to my Christmas party, right?
Oh, thank you.
I don't know about this.
I need your email address again because it falls off of my Outlook, yeah. which is very frustrating. No. But I want you guys to come. It's this Sunday.
Okay.
Open house
there we
from
go.
2 all to right. 4.
Everybody listening, come on
everybody
over.
Everybody listening, come on over. We're on frequent bus line number 4 with the house with the solar panels.
There you go.
Right.
Just the one.
And we're on we have a lot of solar panels. And we have a bike ped path. No, really, seriously.
Wait,
we have
yeah?
a bike ped path right next to our house. And I just cleared it out of all the leaves because my neighbor doesn't tend to clear out the bike ped path. So I like to
thank
keep
you.
That path
thank you
nice
for doing
and clear
that,
for
by
bicyclists
the way.
Yes. and walkers on Mount Tabor.
Very nice of you. That's awesome. Okay. Well, we'll get the specific details of that so that not everyone from all over shows up.
All of our listeners. Yeah,
not that they wouldn't be welcome,
well,
but there's just so many.
We have an open door at my house. And there are, I know there's thousands. They would overrun our house if we gave out the address on
billions
the air.
And billions. So last time we talked to you, I think you were carpooling with Corey Poole. Are we talking about that you take the train occasionally, or is this your new form of transport?
I've been taking the train down in the morning and then riding home with Corey in the afternoon.
Okay. Oh, perfect. So you get like the best of all worlds.
It's a good gig.
Yeah.
In my car, my husband and I have just one car between us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time that car sits around in the driveway because he bikes to work a lot and we both take transit. Low car is the way to go.
Seriously. Yeah. And I love the idea that you can have a car, but you don't have to use it.
No, you don't have
to. It's kind of like an atom bomb.
Ooh.
Or whatever.
Wow.
We'll just threaten people with the use of the combustion engine.
Good analogy.
If you don't do what I want, I'm going to hop in that car and drive myself to work. It's like, no. Oh. That's dumb. Let's talk about this this project that you came in to discuss, because there's a company that you've recently partnered with.
Yeah.
For I know some giveaways. Do you have an extended partnership beyond that as well?
At this point, it's going through Christmas. There's this really cool company, Oregon company, called 541 Threads. I met them in person when I was in Bend back in August. So for one thing, the shirts are made in the U.S., and mm-hmm. it's hard anymore to do things made in the U.S., so that takes some effort. But for every shirt that they sell, they're doing 5 meals to needy people within the state. And they've given out more than 30,000 meals at the last posting on their website, which to me is awesome, because you can have a business and you can do well while you're doing good.
That means they are doing well, right? Because that's a lot of meals.
It's a lot of meals.
Yeah. So that means that their clothing is selling.
Yes.
Yeah. What kind of clothing is this? Casual wear? Is it
Well, it's not tuxedos.
Okay.
It is it's t-shirts. And the t-shirts have some really artistic designs on them. And I'm giving away a t-shirt most every week to anybody who subscribes to my blog, which is a really easy thing to do. And then you get weekly posts on how to be rich and what matters.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've had some good ones recently, which we'll discuss in a moment, I'm sure.
Okay.
But yeah, how did you meet these folks? Were you in the right place at the right time, or
they're
were you
in
referred
downtown
by somebody?
Bend. I'm okay. a big fan. All of us who like to walk and bike tend to be fans of downtowns, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Downtowns are the place to be.
So, Aaron, have you been to downtown Bend?
I've not been to Bend at all.
Okay. We got
to
get you there
someday.
Oh, take
the Breeze. So the bus that you take out to Bend from Portland is called the Breeze.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it goes twice a day. Oh, man.
Oh,
it's, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's a beautiful,
I'm excited now.
It's a beautiful ride. Well, you don't have to have a car to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take relay rides. You could mm-hmm. do that. But you could also take the Breeze.
Yeah. Or you could take the Amtrak all the way down to Klamath Falls and then take the bus connector up to
Very true. Oh,
something.
A man after my own heart. He knows that routing.
It's a really inconvenient way to get there. The schedules don't line up so well. And also, another thing we should remind people is that you work in rural public transit. Is that right?
I do.
You help to coordinate. And
yes, I do. I coordinate transit for Southwest Oregon, which is largely rural transit.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love rural areas. Obviously, I also love the People's Republic of Portland. It's a both and for me. It's not an
sure.
either or. Where are we going with this?
We were talking about
Threads.
Yeah, you were walking around downtown Bend.
Right.
You saw them.
I saw them. And I was really attracted to what they must have had five. That's the motto. 5 fed for every thread. And that attracted me. So I went in, chatted it up with the owner, bought a t-shirt, told him about my blog. And then within a couple of weeks, we figured out, well, this is the partnership that we want to do.
There we go. So this is 541. So it works on multiple levels, because you said that's the area code for Eastern Oregon, right?
For Eastern Oregon, Central Oregon, right?
And then 541.
Threads.
Yeah. So 5 people fed for 1 thread purchased.
Yeah.
Or one set of threads.
You put that together. I hadn't even put that together.
I was just guessing. It was actually, what's the other one? 529 is that bike security company that just started up here in Portland.
Yes.
And they were talking about 5 p.m. to like 9 a.m., the times when your bike is being used or something like that.
Yeah, most used.
Got to look into that. But 541, doing some good things. Yeah. What do you know about, I would imagine we'd have to ask them for like the most up-to-date and current information and like how things actually work in the industry. But I would imagine it's hard to be an ethical clothing company on many levels.
I think it's hard to be a small business at all, because you're in the marketplace, you're pitted against companies that can, you know, give these outrageous bargains. These t-shirts are not especially cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hundreds of dollars, but they're not $5 either.
Right.
And it's hard to be a small business person. Also, we've got this belief in our culture that you want to get something for nothing, or you want to get a lot of stuff for a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opposite of what we should be doing. We should be buying a little bit of stuff for reasonably good prices to support good wages and to support less extracting of resources from the earth.
Yeah, right. So it works on many. There's the resource extraction. There's how you treat the people that make the stuff you have. There's the economic systems that support or don't support the things that you like. Have you heard of the Better World Shopper's Guide?
I don't think I've heard of that. I've heard of Better World, but Shopper's Guide, that part's new to me.
Yeah, there's this little handbook that a guy somewhere in Massachusetts, I think he lives in Worcester, he put together this little Shopper's Guide, basically ranking a bunch of consumer brands and products on kind of like an across-the-board triple bottom line sort of how is this for economics? How is this for the way they treat people? How is this for environmental concerns? And giving each one a score. And so the book is small, designed to be carried in your pocket, so you can like take it with you to the store, flip through it when you're buying your, you know, your tortillas or whatever.
That sounds wonderful.
It's pretty great, yeah. But it's all these things we don't think about. And so whenever you're buying something, I think his whole line of thought was that every time you spend a dollar, you're casting a vote for the world you want to live in.
You really are casting a vote for what you want.
Right. And so, yeah, so like what you're talking about with this 541 company, this is one example of someone who's doing it really well.
I think so.
So is it difficult for you to make these choices? I'm assuming it is. As far as...
I have to say that I'm not yet at the point of making good choices all the time. I'm not there.
We're so disappointed.
No, really.
I thought you were going to be our guru.
I think that all of us find each other because we're all trying to make some better choices.
We all aspire.
I think it's just a process for all of us.
None of us are there. Yeah. I don't know anybody who's there.
Right. I'm not there. I'm trying to think. I feel like yesterday or today I bought something that I shouldn't have. I can't remember.
Was it in a foil wrap?
It might have been in a foil package. Yeah. No, it's just it's tricky to like even developing your ethic is one thing, but then living by that ethic is a totally other one. So
I think a lot of what helps us to live good lives is who we put ourselves around, both face-to-face, but also the kinds of things that we read. If I read something trashy, I can feel my energy level going down. Huh. And if I read something that has some values behind it, it might be humorous, it might be goofy, but when there's values behind it, my energy level goes up. And I think along the lines of better choices.
So if you listen to yourself, if you monitor your wavelengths, you might be able to figure out... How does this make me feel?
Yeah.
That was actually, I feel like, who was it? Oh, Mr. Money Mustache is a guy that writes a blog.
I know
and
him, yeah.
I have not yet read the blog. I know Logan and Tammy are big fans.
Oh, yeah.
And Adele was reading his stuff the other day. But they were talking about how much do you spend on booze? How much do you like the way you feel when you have it?
Mm.
And I had a lot to drink on Saturday night. I felt like shit on Sunday. And I thought to myself, well, that was an expensive way to not feel that great. So, how much is enough? How much is too much?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we draw those lines? And obviously those lines are different for everybody. But like you're saying, if you're tuned into yourself,
if
you're aware, if you're mindful,
or even
you end up with,
just knowing, I mean, kind of knowing your limits or being aware of your limits.
Right.
Like I can abuse the shit out of coffee.
And so
ice cream. Actually, a better example is ice cream. And so I try my best to make sure to only buy like the more premium, more expensive brands of ice cream because then it becomes a luxury for me. And, so I'm not abusing it. I'm actually going to go like, do I really want to pay $5 for this tiny little thing right now? Well, probably not. So I'm going to hold off and I'm not going to have any for a while,
That sounds like a good choice.
But knowing my limits and then, I don't know, like figuring a way to kind of uphold or really kind of enforce on myself those limits.
Head yourself off at the pass.
Right. I mean, I know given if I let myself have the freedom to buy, the cheapest ice cream, whatever, I would totally do that. And kind of the same, like I would feel like shit for the next couple of days.
And it probably came from unhappy cows.
Exactly. you know, and every time you spend a dollar, you're casting a vote.
Right, right. So, yeah. That was.
We've now come full circle.
So we have. I was talking to somebody from Fort Collins. We took a bike tour down there in 2012 and stayed with some folks, and they were talking about how ridiculous it is to buy beer from across the country. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if I'm drinking a bunch of Pabst.
They have so many, like, breweries over there. Or...
Yeah, yeah. Like, a lot of the national distribution comes from places that are a long ways away. So basically, I'm paying to drink water from somewhere else. And... I mean, in some places, that's your only choice. Like, if you're out camping in the mountains and all you can find is a Budweiser, then that's the beer you're going to have if you want that beer while you're camping. But if I'm living in Portland and I know that, for example, Session Lager is pretty good beer, about the same content, does the same trick as PBR. It's made in Hood River, doesn't travel that far to get here, and it's a local business that I can support. So, yeah, I am...
And thus we have Session... just hanging out here in the studio.
We have stacks and stacks of it back here in the corner. That's right. Well, that was vigorous buying.
Yeah,
that was to meet a demand that ended up not being a thing.
It was a perceived demand.
Well, that demand will be our future guests. But yes, I think there's a lot to be said for, like you said, Allison, you don't consider yourself a guru. We consider you a guru because you're willing to think about these things and you're willing to write about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's some good stuff. Did we mention Diamond Cut Life yet?
I think that Diamond Cut Life has kind of been in the background.
DiamondCutLife.org, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it's a .org, yeah.
Yes, that's right. The only blog on the internet. some really good stuff up there, though.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been blogging since 2007, so right now we're at 7 years.
How's that feel?
Wow.
Oh, it feels good. The time goes by quickly. I think that the number of posts have been up to something like 650, and I think that they've gotten better over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you become more focused on the fact that you want to be of service. You're not just doing this fun thing for yourself, although it is fun. I really do enjoy writing. But you become more and more aware that you're there to advise, entertain, uplift. People want some good advice. When I look at the posts that get the most read, there was some good advice in there.
Yeah.
So do you find yourself, as you sit down to write, like, do you find yourself a little bit more beholden to your audience at that point?
Oh, I definitely feel responsible and accountable to the audience. They have millions and millions of choices. They can listen to Sprocket Broadcast. They can listen to Diamond Cut Life. They have so many choices. And you have to make it worth their while.
That's true. Yeah, and I think you do. So,
yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
That being said, could we address a couple of posts that caught my eye recently?
Yes.
We could do that.
Yeah. Do we need to do a thing?
You do what you need to do.
All right. Did you save the thing?
No.
Let's save the thing.
We're having a technology moment.
Yeah. Usually we wait until the train comes by because that's a convenient time to stop the tape.
The train that I ride.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's the corridor. That would be... Yeah.
We are on the train corridor right here.
Well, right.
Yeah, so next time we hear that, I think we should... We'll say hi.
What's up, Allison? Just rolling by at that... Well, yeah.
6:05 in the morning.
6:05. Yep. So we'll have to make sure we're here at that time.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. This is very appropriate to us. And also, I think one of the more recent ones that you put up, the cold winter heating and how to stay warm when it's cold outside.
Yes. Oh, the whole idea there. And it is really cold out, at least for we Portlanders. We're feeling like this is cold.
For all of us softies in the Northwest.
The thing is, you want to keep your body warm. You don't need to keep the house warm.
Mm-hmm.
It's about your body.
Right.
Are you wearing lots of clothes? Do you have some good thick socks on? No, heating the whole house, that's gonna use up all your money, and it's going to use up all of the Earth's fossil fuels. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And that's actually kind of what I've been doing. It's tricky when you share a house with someone because you have to kind of navigate those waters, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have to figure out what everyone can live with.
You bet.
And the guy we live with spent a lot of time in New Mexico, and so he's used to a much warmer climate.
Oh, my.
He is actually wrapped up in blankets and that sort of thing. But the temperature's also set in the house to about 68, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's reasonable.
I would be far too warm if I was all swaddled in blankets. But for him, that's just the necessary. That's what he needs to get by. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
I do believe in negotiating.
Yes.
Whether it's your husband, your housemate. We have a housemate. We're going to have a second housemate here before too long. No, everybody's needs matter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sure. It's not just about one person and their agenda. No, that doesn't work.
Right. I mean, it could be easy to be, like, if you own the house, it could be easy to be the dictator.
Oh, that doesn't work either. We own our house.
It doesn't work.
You'd be such a jerk if you just told your housemate to, no, that's
suck it up. Put on a sweater.
That's no way to interact with another human being.
Yeah.
That's seriously. Why Carter didn't get reelected.
I suppose you're right.
I always felt bad about that.
Yeah? How so?
Oh, because...
Just the way that got spun. And,
well, it was so reasonable to wear a sweater.
It is.
It was completely reasonable.
I wore one just earlier today.
I'm wearing one right now.
It's a lot of people wearing sweaters.
No, it's outrageous that he became a laughingstock for wearing a sweater. That was all wrong. It was totally wrong.
Yeah, sure. That is the problem of spin. Also, closing vents and heating only certain areas of your house. Mm-hmm. I liked that as well, like selective, because mm-hmm. I mean, most people do have these vents that you can like slide the slats and choose where the hot air goes.
Close the vent. We only are in our bedrooms typically in the nighttime, and then you have blankets and each other anyway. So I think that the bedrooms often don't need to be heated at all.
Yeah.
Usually you hang out, and, you know, just the kitchen is where people tend to hang out.
Right. I find, I don't know if you do this or not. I find that I hang out in kitchens whenever someone wants to use the kitchen. I'm usually like hanging out right in front of the cutting board or like, you know, in front of the knife rack or whatever, like the sink. I'm just
you definitely belong at my Christmas party.
I plant myself there, and like I'm only there when someone wants to use the kitchen. If no
it's like,
one's,
it's like this weird sixth sense that you have.
Yeah, if no one is cooking, like I'll be somewhere else. But if there's activity in the kitchen, I just want to be there and be in the way. So, yeah. Yeah, that there are so many ways that heat and energy move around a house. Weatherizing, I'm sure, is one big thing, and everyone has their own.
So, yeah, here's something we used to do growing up that I never see anymore.
Did you pack your shoes with newspaper?
No, I do that now,
okay.
Actually.
All right.
plastic over the windows.
Oh.
I mean, it's plastic, so there's a little bit of clash of values there, but...
it was going to get made anyways,
that's how,
right?
I guess so. But that's how it helped insulate our house.
Oh, that's right. You're from Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that makes good sense.
So we had some pretty bad winds. And funny, every now and then, like the ceiling of the tape or whatever that we sealed the plastic with would sometimes come loose. And the wind would come through the windows and you hear this little... from the plastic, like
just whipping
just
back and
slightly
forth.
Loose, yeah.
That's fabulous.
So then, you got to seal it back up. But yeah, nobody does that here,
right?
And
I haven't seen
like,
it a lot.
Well, and I've seen it sort of come out of vogue, like back when I was in Michigan last, just for Thanksgiving. I was asking, like, why are we not putting plastic up? I don't want to do it this year.
Yeah.
We got the high. What is it? The high efficiency windows.
I got stuff to do. What about? Did I ever tell you the story when I lived in Washougal? I was in this little tiny house. It was like a 600 square foot house. It was probably bigger than that, but like a very small house.
Yeah.
Sharing it with three other guys, and we had made a pact with each other, an oath that we would not turn on the heat, like through the winter. We're just gonna live there.
Really?
And you know, kind of do what we could with the heat that was there. We made it like all the way to mid-November, maybe early December, I think. But it's really cold one night. We're all sitting there. We're all wrapped up in blankets. We have blankets over the windows, blankets like between the rooms. I don't know why that was. I think maybe seeing blankets, we thought we'd feel warmer or something like that. And we were sitting there one night with our breath like crystallizing in front of us. You know, we're just kind of chattering our teeth. And eventually we're like, you know, this sucks. Let's turn on the heat. And it was that fateful day. At which, you know, it was a good effort, a good hustle, but
sure.
we couldn't make it happen any longer. So somewhere between...
You realized your limits at that point.
Exactly. Somewhere between the low cold limit and the high, like, you know, like highest heat, there's got to be a happy medium where you can be responsible with your use of energy and happy in your home.
Oh, I agree. And I think that to set ourselves up for some kind of extreme thing... People always go from one extreme swiftly to the other extreme.
Right.
And so rather than trying to expect something really ridiculous of yourself, be reasonable. Be grounded.
Let your pendulum swing slowly.
Ah. I wonder how much perception plays into it too. Like maybe a sense of, I don't know, like keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing in – having a reasonable temperature in your house, like when you have people over, like, well, I don't want to seem like I'm too poor to heat my house. I don't know. That's maybe a bit more, I don't know, getting a little too psychological.
I think it's good to not get hung up on political correctness. I think that a lot of us like to be alternative, and I think that it's good to get outside of the mainstream. I don't think that the mainstream Certainly. Culture is life-giving. I think that it's greedy, it's soul-deadening, and the mainstream is not where I want to be. At the same time, I don't want to just be posturing and creating just a different image for the sake of being different. That's not what I want.
Like, wow, look how weird she is.
Yeah, like this 4 a.m. stuff. I don't talk about it a lot. But I feel very alive in the early morning.
Yeah.
I feel very alive.
Wow.
I kind of wish I felt as alive as you in the early morning.
Well, and I wish that I could stay up till midnight or 1 o'clock and be having a great time. And once in a great while, that'll happen, like if I'm dancing. Not if I'm sitting still, but if
there
I'm dancing. But everybody always wants what they don't have.
Yeah.
It always looks romantic to be you, and here I am with my strange early morning habits. But you make it work for yourself.
We should do a Freaky Friday thing where you go to the school district and drive the bus around one day. And I get on the train and go down to Salem and tell people how to drive buses.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. We'll work it out.
I think we can get the school district to agree on this. Right?
What was? Yeah, exactly. It's not like you need a license or anything,
right?
What was the instigator in the actual Freaky Friday movie? I was trying to remember how that happened.
Wasn't it where the father and the son switch places?
I think it was mother and daughter.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I don't know. Some like movie magic, something. It's not important.
Daughter is jealous of the mom's lifestyle and freedom, and mother looks at the kid and is like, oh, the kid doesn't have any responsibilities, and they both at the same time say, I wish I had their life or whatever.
There we go. And there was like
lightning strike.
There's like a gnome like standing around listening to them or something. Okay. Well, it's the what? It's the grass is always green on the other side.
Yeah.
And I forget who said it, but the adage of like, water your own damn lawn. I think that's the thing I've heard.
I think that was Jimmy Carter as
okay.
well.
Okay. That could be. But I like that. It's like the reason that the grass looks green is because you're not taking care of your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Living like a salmon. That
living
was,
like a salmon.
Another one that I thought of. Doing hard things, making harder choices. It's like swimming upstream. That's like boiling it down to its basics. But
I had fun writing that one. Yeah, salmon is so iconic in the Northwest. It does taste good. I mean, clearly salmon just tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
But as a creature, it's a hero of a creature. It does things the hard way. And then it gives us this flesh that's just incredibly nutritious. But they have these hard lives. I mean, they'll swim 800 miles, and they'll jump up these 6-foot waterfalls. And it's like they live these lives of passion.
Yeah.
They're very cool. They're something to model ourselves after.
Yeah, so the post that you wrote, I'll try and link to that one on our website. It's a good one. There's a lot of metaphors, and they're all good ones.
Thank you.
And lastly, maybe the Bolt bus.
Oh, the Bolt. Oh, that was a good time.
Because you took a trip, you and your husband.
We did. It was actually on Canadian Thanksgiving. I think it was the beginning of October.
Oh, you got both?
Well, in effect, we did. We didn't celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving. We just hung out that night.
There we go.
But the Bolt bus is wonderful. It is a good, fast-moving express bus. We took it from Portland, Oregon, up to Vancouver, B.C.
Oh.
And then we ended up taking the SkyTrain and another bus to get over to the ferry that took us over to Victoria, and then another bus down into... It was quite the no-car vacation.
Multimodal.
It was multimodal, and we had a good time. And then my husband and I managed to not fight if we're taking a bus together. I don't know if you guys have this problem with your significant others, but... We hate each other's driving. We despise each other's driving. And we can't keep our mouths shut about it.
There we go.
And it's, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to admit this, but he and I are both realistic about the fact that we don't like each other's driving.
It's good to know what your limitations are.
Where are those limits? You know, live with those. Just accept it about yourself.
I'm usually
don't
just grateful someone else is driving.
Oh, me too. Me too. I love it when someone else drives. In fact, Corey drives every... I've never once driven Corey anywhere. Corey's been driving me home from Salem for 3.5 years, but that's neither here nor there. The point with the Bolt bus is that Thor and I had a lovely vacation. So if you're not driving, you can smooch. You can cuddle. You can hold hands. There's no distractions from each other. And you can also do your riding.
I wonder if that's
why you guys hate each other's driving.
Because we're not switching.
You've got time. You've got time to like pay attention and critique each other's driving. You're not smooching. You're not cuddling.
That's right.
It's one direction or another.
That's right.
That's for sure.
And then the other thing about transit, and this is something that all of us should be telling everybody all the time. Transit is 10 times safer than being in a personal vehicle.
Mm.
You have 1/10 the chance of being in a fatal accident if you are in train or bus instead of being in a personal vehicle. Now, this motivates me.
Yeah.
Along with all the other things.
Well, you have one highly trained person operating a vehicle that carries a bunch of folks, as opposed to a bunch of distracted people all looking at their phones and careening around the road at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, well said.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that? Yeah, why wouldn't you get on a train or a bus and relax? It does take longer, and it's less convenient in many cases.
Right.
But in so many cases, it's a really good choice.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird hurdle. This is the thing that I think about transit. And does Bolt Bus count as transit? I'm sure it
does.
It's intercity transit.
It's intercity transit,
It's not publicly funded transit, but it's transit nonetheless.
Right.
The thing about, I think, anytime you're taking a public vehicle, you're taking a bus, you're taking a train, all of these things run on a schedule, and that schedule is beholden only to itself and the planners and the policymakers that put it in action. And I feel like that in itself is a big enough hurdle for some people who just don't have their lives organized enough to make a schedule.
I think that's true.
And the nice thing about Bolt Bus is that they run several of those runs every day.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss the first one, there are other opportunities. Not the case with, say, the Empire Builder. There's only one of those every day.
Right.
You miss that train, you're there, like, you know.
You're stuck in that city.
Exactly.
Speaking of which.
Speaking of, yeah.
All the trains coming.
It's not the Empire Builder. It might be the Co-Star Line. But, yes, that... I gestured with my cup, and there's wine everywhere now. I don't think I had a bigger point than that. That was it.
That's a good point to make. Anyways.
But the thing is... there's something to be said, I think, for figuring out how to, like, arrange your life so that you can make a bus. Like, you know, you can get on the bus at the time that you're supposed to get on the bus and make it happen.
Well, and I don't want to sound like I'm getting down on people too much, but really, I don't know. I'm generally of the viewpoint, if I can do it, just about anyone can. But it doesn't. It only takes the most rudimentary of scheduling skills to figure out a train or bus schedule.
Well, you know, and now, as I understand, Gmail is taking the things that roll into your email box, like when you buy a train ticket, and like automatically adding it to your calendar.
No kidding.
I've never heard of that.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe you have to opt into that or something. But I feel like that was something that they were working on.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I mean, there are so many ways to make that happen these days. It's great. So, anyways, this is good. So we should probably let you go. This is we're running up on the end of your availability time because you got to get up at 4.
There is that, but I wanted to point out that tomorrow, at least as we record, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Oh. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. Today, was Cyber Monday, then Black Friday. Well, none of us have anything to do with that, I'm sure. But you
I
know,
went bowling.
I call it Buy Nothing Day.
You call it Buy Nothing Day. I just wanted to point out to Sprocket podcast listeners that Sprocket Podcast really is a good place to donate to.
And
I'm writing a check. Nobody even mentioned this to me. It was my idea because I saw that they had this cool list of donors at the end of their post.
It's true. We do.
So Diamond Cut Life is making a donation right now to Sprocket Podcast. And I would just suggest to listeners that, you know, pony up and help these guys pay their bills. And they've got all these technology problems that need to be solved. No, actually, their technology is just fine. They like to make jokes about it. But, yeah, I think that they're worth giving a donation to, and Giving Tuesday is tomorrow. So join me in helping to support these cool guys in their creative work.
Oh, wow. Shucks.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you.
Very nice of you.
Yeah.
So it's diamondcutlife.org and 541 Threads.
541 Threads. And if you become a subscriber, which is really easy to do, just comment on one of my posts. I'll put you in the drawing for a free Threads t-shirt.
There we go.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that means that... you're going to get to wear an awesome shirt, and 5 other people are going to get to eat.
That's right. And if you want to make it a Christmas gift, they could always mail it to the person that you're gifting it to as well.
True.
Oh.
Yeah, this is lovely.
Better.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you wanted to highlight while you're here?
I think that the latest post that I had is just a good theme for the holidays. I was talking about...
You always do really good holiday posts.
Oh, thank you.
There's so much grist this time of year.
I think it was last Christmas was about like conflict resolution. Is that right?
Probably so, because there is a lot of conflict usually at Christmas time.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I posted about this last Thursday was, it was called Secret for a Happy Thanksgiving. I'd had a really interesting experience at the Mac stop. But what I was talking about was staying present, because it's really easy to not be present. Whether it's the holidays, you know, texting while someone's talking with you, or just taking seconds or thirds because the conversation's too uncomfortable and... You know, checking email yet again as if something major is going to break in the last 5 minutes.
Avoiding eye contact. I did some of that this holiday.
Did you really?
Not because I wanted to.
Well, most of us do these things a lot of the time.
Right, right.
But to me, and then the buying. the buying of things that you can't afford because you want to impress somebody or mm-hmm. you're trying to keep up a certain appearance.
Right.
That's not a good idea.
You're just buying someone's love.
Trying, yeah, or trying to, or you're trying to fit in, trying to be accepted. And I would just challenge everybody, for one thing, don't buy things you can't afford. I don't think that's any way to celebrate any holiday.
Right.
But just be present. Mm-hmm. I think that the gift of each other's attention is a beautiful gift. And I think that's a good way to approach the holiday season, being present instead of trying to give presents all the time. It's a thought.
This is a good idea. I like this.
Yeah.
Thank you for underscoring it.
Sure.
Well, Allison Wiley, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's do it again, sooner this time.
Yeah, 2015, here
perfect,
we come.
Perfect, perfect.
All right, we're back. Yeah, I'm cracking open another one of these, by the way.
The yerba mate?
I am.
Nice.
Ginger.
Oh, yeah. Did you drink that?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was good. It's very sweet.
So it's ginger is the brand name? And
I think
it's
that
tea, ginger, and cayenne pepper.
Ginger.
With J's.
Green tea with lemon, fresh ginger, and cayenne.
Well done.
Yeah.
You slaughtered that bottle, man.
There's still like a sediment of ginger and cayenne in there.
You could throw some more water in there and probably have like a reconstituted second beverage. Put yerba mate into the bottle.
Try to pour some of this yerba. I would just pour it all over myself.
Right. You're standing next to the technology.
That's true.
Better
I'm
not
going to do that.
I already have wine on my pants. This is pretty good sparkling wine, by the way. I think that's probably my secret. Like, if I'm going to drink wine again, it should just be sparkling wine. As opposed to, I don't really care for the red wines. Don't really care for, I don't know, the white's okay. Honestly.
I have no experience with any wine.
Are we going to cuss a lot now? Like I was holding myself back.
Were you holding back?
Yeah.
I swore a few times.
Me too, but she's such a good person.
Yeah.
I feel like I would feel bad saying dirty words around her. Oh, well.
I mean, have you read Ravel?
No.
Her book?
Is it full of dirty words?
It's not full of dirty words.
Okay. To my credit, I had Ravel from the library.
Yeah.
And I had it checked out like over the course of 6 months or something, but I never got to that like book in my queue. I always had other books that I was trying to get read beforehand.
Yeah, I've got a number of books where I'll have them read or like partially read, and then it's time to return them.
Oh, so we should probably say, Allison Wiley is also the author of Ravel, a novel, which is available both at Multnomah County Library and from fine booksellers near you, preferably independent ones like Howells.
Even through her website.
Oh, or Diamond you can Cut buy it Life. From her directly. Org. I'm sorry, I was talking over you.
That's all right. Diamond Cut Life.
You can buy it. You could buy it from her directly. Do you want to do your story? Or do you want to do headlines first?
I want to do this headlines because it's only one, and
so it better be a good one.
No, it's pretty crummy. it's a feel good piece.
All right,
I'm gonna. I'll be honest here. I picked this out. I found this via Bike Portland, but it's off the New York Times.
What you?
Of my own accord.
You.
I found this. I know.
Wow.
Nobody sent this to me.
Well done. Awesome. All right, here comes some headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Yeah, so, like I mentioned, via Bike Portland from the New York Times, a article entitled Finding a Salve. How do you pronounce that, by the way?
I've heard it said both ways. Just kind of like you can either say almond or almond.
No, you say almond.
No, but a lot of people that work in the industry say almond.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. This isn't a public radio story. But they threw my head for a loop. I would say salve.
Yeah. I reading it, I want to say salve, and I did, but...
It's up to you.
Normally, I would say salve. It's
up to the listeners, write to us. Tell us, how do you pronounce the word salve?
So finding a salve, now I'm just sort of being obtuse here, for his depression on two wheels. Mr. Watson has a mental illness, manifesting in his case in profound depression that has left him unable to rise from his bed at times and has twice resulted in hospitalizations. And this whole article is about a man who, I don't want to say cured his depression, but certainly treats his depression through riding a bike. And he's part of a group home. Everybody, you should just read this. Mm-hmm. But he's part of a group home I don't know how to explain. I guess people at risk or people in transition.
Yeah.
And so the job that they hooked him up with was a bike courier. He delivers lunches to this preschool.
Oh, nice.
By bike. And,
that's fabulous.
And because of this job, he has made great strides in treating his depression.
Nice. So what does he say? Like, how does he describe the way the bicycle helps him with it?
The only quote I have, he says, "When I'm riding, I feel free." In the article, it says, usually talking about his depression draws Mr. Watson's face towards his feet and his soft voice fades to a whisper, then to silence. But as he stood in his kitchen last month with dim light from the windows filtered by faded curtains, he turned thoughtful. The subject came back to bicycles, as it often does with Mr. Watson. Sometimes he rides fast to clear his head, he said, or he rides to the closest waterfront, either in Brooklyn or Manhattan, and spends some time looking out at the water. It calms him down, he said. Mr. Watson now finds his solutions in movement, not stasis.
Nice. Well, yeah, and movement, I mean, of all kinds, is what you want.
Definitely, yeah.
You can't stay where you are.
No, I suppose not. Yeah, well, and the reason why I sort of cherry-picked this off of Bike Portland amongst all the other things that may be a little bit more immediate is I know for myself, and I imagine this to be true for a lot of people, like the holidays, the winter, the lack of sunlight.
Yeah.
It's a really good cocktail for kind of turning inward, kind of, for lack of a better term, a depression.
I have felt my mood go downward.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the past couple weeks. Yeah.
And so kind of brought this out as both kind of a glimmer of hope, so to speak, but also as sort of not a call to action per se, but maybe encouragement to, you know, when those times come to get out on the bike.
Seriously.
Even if it is raining.
Yeah.
You know. So
it'll do you some good.
It's done me wonders. I don't know if I've ever said it on record, but I know, like, between you and I, we've talked about, like, the bike has definitely sort of, for lack of a better term, like, saved my life in the realm of, you know, my mental states and my moods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's just good to have something to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if like all you can think to do is like, well, maybe I'll go to the local grocery shop and buy myself a soda. Like,
there you go.
And maybe being creative enough to go to like one that is a little bit further away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see what the Fred Meyer is like in Gresham.
Hey, man.
Is there a Fred Meyer in Gresham?
I bet there is.
Oh, okay.
There's a Target in Troutdale.
Okay. Well, now I want to see what that's like.
Or no, it's Fairview. Sorry.
Oh, never mind.
Way out there.
I don't want to go there.
In the tangle of municipalities and borders and such. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think this is a good idea. And, you know, to be fair, I would say it's even today I had the choice to go out on a run. I did not go on the run. And I felt kind of down all afternoon. So I probably should have gone.
Kind of kicking yourself for not running or just for the fact that, like, maybe you didn't get the movement that you needed?
Both.
Ah, okay.
Both. I am kicking myself for not getting the movement that I needed.
One is less beneficial than the other.
True. Yes. So at this point, I will stop the self-flagellation, and we will continue on our way.
Right on.
Yeah. All right. So I feel like we need a special here. Give me some sound.
Oh yeah.
All right.
There you go.
We need this because you're about to tell us something of great import. The saga of Aaron.
I want the drums, actually. Can I have the drums? Just
so
all.
Much, so
can
much
we play
noise.
Them all at the same time?
Yeah,
just
seriously. Yeah,
mash of noise.
So tell us.
Well, that would greatly, I think, illustrate what was going on in my head. It's just all this mash of noise and stimulus and angst.
Right. So you went to Michigan, as we spoke of earlier.
Yeah.
You took a folding bicycle with you.
Yeah, and I'll be. So first, let me start on a positive note.
I'll be
note.
Stymied.
I'm going to start on a positive note and say it was probably one of the best, if not the best times I've been to Michigan since moving to Hawaii.
Nice.
Or since I had moved to Hawaii.
It's so, been a while.
And that's like, well, 7 years ago.
Yeah. So 7 year high.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do believe it's, you know, this maybe also kind of recalls back to this New York Times article I just mentioned. I do believe it's in no small part due to having a bike.
There we go. Instead of being cooped up with relatives for however long.
Yeah. And I didn't like, it wasn't like, all right, screw you guys. I'm going on a ride.
Right.
You know?
There is a good way to go on a bike ride and there is a less good way to go on a bike ride.
And it wasn't like, you know, I went on this ride and then was gone for hours or whatever. And it wasn't like I went on a bunch of rides. I think even just having it there and knowing that I have the option to get out and do whatever on my own.
Yeah.
On my own. Like I didn't have to ask to borrow someone's car. I didn't have to, you know, have someone give me a ride. All of these things like really fed into being able to like hang out with my family. Because I want to hang out with my family.
Like on your terms.
Yeah.
Dude, that's exactly the same reason I got a hotel room when I went up to see my family. I love my family, but I can't be with them 24/7. I'd go nuts. We're not similarly, you know, we're not enough like each other.
Yeah.
To get to spend like 24 hours on like the whole time. So, yes, hotel rooms, bicycles, rental cars, all of these things are good.
Mm. Yes. Yes, and yes, once again, thanks to Clever Cycles. Thanks to Anna from Clever Cycles for hooking this up.
Yeah. And what a hookup, man. I'm a little jealous. I gotta get myself hooked up with some sort of bicycle someday.
Dude, and yeah, I don't know. Well,
So enough about the happy, rosy things.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about the bullshit.
Let's get back to the angst, to all the noise and the hatred.
Yeah, because you,
maybe a little strong.
You flew.
I flew Spirit Airlines.
And you're not afraid to say which airline this is.
I am not afraid because
it was terrible.
They are not afraid to screw you over as a customer.
All right.
They spin it differently. They bill themselves as the no frills airline.
No frills.
Passing the savings on to you.
Passing.
But in the meantime, like, you know, you do the I don't know how you get your airline tickets, but most times what I do is, you know, I go on some survey site that like basically polls all of the airlines. And
an aggregator such as Orbitz or Kayak or what have you.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember like there wasn't a significant price difference, but it was enough. It was like $50 between that and the next one, which I don't know who it was. I would probably guess it's Alaska because they're awesome. That's all.
They do good things. And that book that I mentioned earlier about the Better World Shopper or what have you. Alaska's on the top of the airlines.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So just so everybody knows.
Also, the owner of Alaska here rides a Brompton.
Oh, nice. We're not getting paid to shill for these guys.
We are not.
They're just doing good work.
We should. anyways, Spirit Airlines, however, no es bueno. I was fully expecting to like get some guff on my way out just because it's all new for me. I don't know. I mean, I felt really weird going into the airport carrying the Brompton, going through the security line in Portland. Pretty much everybody knew what it was.
Yeah.
The TSA people were like, oh, yeah, bring your folding bike over here. We'll check it out. Get to the gate, and the lady at the Spirit Airlines gate before getting on the plane is like, what is this contraption? And I went against all advice and I told her that it was a bicycle, and that may have screwed me. But in the meantime, like, she said, oh, well, you're going to have to gate check that. And it was like, it was in a pretty good manner. And again, not really knowing too much better myself, you know, I said, well, let's see. And I put it in the little, you know, sort of demo slot that they have there.
Where everyone stuffs all their luggage into.
Didn't quite fit. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll gate check it. And I think I told a lot of people after that flight, and a lot of people while I was at home, like, preparing for the flight back from Detroit, like, I'm going to be more forceful this next time around.
Or make sure you get this
more confident
bike.
Because I know it will fit.
Yeah.
I've gotten a look at these overhead compartments now.
Gonna make it happen.
I know it's going to fit.
Yeah.
And I get to Detroit and I get to the gate and, I'm going to kind of rewind there.
Okay.
So in Detroit, there was like a TSA guy that was like even curious about it. Like, was like, what is this thing?
Like a scary way.
No, not in a scary way. This is after I've already securityed in.
Right.
And I'm like, I've got my shoes back on. I've got my belt on. Like, I'm ready to go.
Right.
And he comes up to me and he's just like, can you tell me what this is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a curiosity way. And I tell him, yeah, it's a folding bike. And I unfolded it for him. Like,
doing a demo. I bet you got pretty good at that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was calling myself sort of the Brompton ambassador.
Nice.
For a while.
Nice.
Yeah, I demoed it to like every member of my family individually.
There we go.
Just anybody who happened to look at it just slightly cross was like, check it out.
No, seriously, opens up.
And
watch.
I was so excited. I still am really excited, and I totally want to get me a Brompton of my own.
I think you should get you a Brompton.
Yes. So demoed it to that guy. Oh, I got to tell you this, though.
Yes.
when I arrived in Detroit, I'm waiting. I had gate checked it. You know, I'm waiting for it to come up the jetway.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the baggage handlers is like, you waiting for your thing?
And that thing with wheels?
Well, I think he was just saying, like, in reference to any general baggage.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And there was already a number of strollers there already. And he's like, oh, well, if it's not here now, it's not coming. I was like, what? And he backed up a little bit. Yeah. He backed up a little bit. And he's like, it's probably at baggage claim.
Because it's not mine.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm waiting at baggage claim and it never arrives. And they announce my name. And it just never got unloaded at that time.
Okay. It was still sitting on the plane.
And they had finally unloaded it. And, of course, I was gone by that time. So
right.
They announced it. I get there, and this middle-aged woman is, like, giving me guff. I had to carry this all around the airport. You know, it's all in fun.
But guff is not what you need from that airline at that point.
Well, again, like, I could take it well from her because I could tell it was all in fun. And she was a baggage handler.
All right.
You know,
and like you were saying, it's the people like from
everyone,
the gate on.
Everyone from the gate on was cool.
Everyone that actually interacts with an airplane.
Yep.
Good people.
Anyone who, yeah, yeah.
Anyone who gets you onto that airplane, terrible people.
The people who actually deal with the customers are not good at dealing
right.
with the customers.
Well, we were talking about this the other day, and you were saying, like, there's the theory, right, that, like, maybe it's because the people who – some airlines have the people who work on the airplane doing the checking in. And
yeah.
Those people tend to be a lot nicer because they got to be with you forever.
Yes. However, the people, especially at Detroit, had no invested interest to make anybody
okay.
happy.
Right.
Anyways, I want to tell this little bit here about arriving in Detroit with this middle-aged woman giving me guff. And she's like, what is this anyways? I'm like, it's a bicycle. It's a folding bicycle. And she goes, no, it's not. I'm like, you're right, lady. It's not.
Which is what, like, tons of people trying to transport their bicycles by air have wanted people to say
right.
for, like, ever.
Right.
So that was a golden moment, sir. A golden moment.
Well, that was... So I demoed it to her. I, like, unfolded it for her, and she's like, oh, my gosh, look at that thing.
Didn't you get an ovation?
Well, and I go, can I ride it around? She's like, I don't care. So I did a couple laps through baggage claim in Detroit Airport.
Well done.
anyways, yeah, so that was cool. let's go back to some more angst here.
Yeah, so returning to Portland, right?
Yeah, trying to get back to Portland, trying to get home.
With a folding bike.
With a folding bike. I am at the gate. I had securityed in. I had demoed the bike to a TSA guy. I'm at the gate waiting for like them to start boarding. And this lady comes up to me, a fellow passenger, and recognizes it as a bike right away.
Oh, yeah.
And just, tell me about your bike. And
that's
so
weird.
I demoed it to
her. How does
it
work?
Well, during the conversation, she said, me and my husband are going to Europe, and I want a bike through Europe. And, you know, this looks like it would be a great solution. And I said, it's the perfect solution.
You are the ambassador.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how much money I can squeeze out of Brompton for this.
Not too much, probably.
None whatsoever. None. $0. But anyways, I think that screwed me in the end.
Okay.
Because
suddenly you have a bicycle in view of all
the
Because
now it's
staff.
A bicycle. Yeah. Yes, now it's an actual bicycle. And I get it folded up, and they're calling for the people who have – oh, yeah. Here's a great thing about – another thing I hate about Spirit Airlines is – so they bill themselves as the no frills.
No frills.
Which means you don't get to take a carry-on.
It means they sell you frills.
They sell you frills. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have to pay an extra $35 each way, mind you, if you want to take a carry-on, which I did because I'm taking my carry-on.
Right, right.
The bicycle. So anyways, I get to the gate. I'm the first one in line. And before anything, the lady just says straight to me, you are not taking that on my plane. So
yikes.
Already we're like, bam, clash.
Confrontation from the start.
And so that doesn't put me in the best of mindset. And I just go, lady, it's going to fit. It's going to fit. These are made to fit. I just kept coming back to, this is what these things are made for. This is what they're supposed to do.
Right.
It's going to fit. And she ends up calling somebody else because she's got to get more. Sir, I got to get everybody else here on the plane. You're going to have to wait.
So you're first in line.
I was first in line.
Yeah.
I end up being the last person on board. So everybody's got to look at my angry face, holding this bicycle, and you know, I'm the reason that they're holding up the plane,
right?
Basically.
And how long did
at
it
least
take?
In everybody's mind,
there was a lady clickety clacking on the computer.
And so this
right?
other lady comes up, and she doesn't even acknowledge me. she just starts clicking on the computer and starts scrolling through what turns out to be like their airline rules, which
right.
I have read by
yes.
the way. And
so she's basically looking to like call you on the carpet and be like, no, you can't take that.
Well, yeah. And I've read this because I wanted to know the dimensions that are allowable on the thing,
right?
Which the Brompton, when you measure it, does exceed, but in all actuality,
but fits,
it still fits.
Yeah.
So she just doesn't acknowledge me, and so I'm sitting in this awkward silence as people are passing by, and so finally I just say to the lady, look, if you're going to make me check this, then I want a refund on my carry-on payment.
On that frill.
Because this is what I paid for.
Yeah. Did you get a refund?
And no, I did not.
Yeah.
No, they would not budge for anything,
man,
because since they gate checked it, I would have to pay more for the checked
checking.
Baggage fee, so they're giving me a deal.
What wasn't she threatening you with
more.
Like $100 or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so she's clickety clacketing and she's looking through the rules, and she brings this up and turns her screen around, and she's like, see here, for bicycles, it has to be boxed. And since this isn't boxed, I don't even have to take this on the plane. And feel that silence for a second, because that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, so are you expecting me to just leave this here or stay in Detroit myself? And she just gives me this like shrug, like,
shrug.
Got you by the balls, punk rock kid.
Oh, man.
And by that time, everybody has boarded the plane.
Mm-hmm. You're the last guy there.
There's the baggage handlers coming up the jetway, have come up the jetway waiting, like going like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why are we not cleared for takeoff yet?
Right.
And it was a good thing they came up, because one of the baggage handlers was cool enough to go like, we can gate check this.
Right.
We'll be all right taking this onto the plane.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of So we check it, and she wanted to just check it in Vegas where my first stop was.
So that you have to do this all over again.
Yeah, and I said, I'm not doing this all over again.
Right.
You have to check this
right.
to Portland. And, you know, she does this thing like, well, if we lose it, then that's your fault. And I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. So did you have a claim check?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And I think what was sort of the kind of redeeming point of this whole interaction is the baggage handler. Like, I go to pick it up to take it down the jetway, and the yeah. baggage handler, who's been standing there during, uh-huh. you know, the tail end of this exchange, is like, oh, I'll take that for you, sir, and, like, grabs it from me, and he's like, oh, man, this is super light.
You can
this
totally
doesn't
put
weigh
that up
this,
there.
This doesn't weigh anything. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so Spirit Airlines, go fuck yourself.
Big thumbs down.
Yes. And not in the cool Portland go fuck yourself way. Yeah. Like, really, go fuck yourself, guys. Oh,
there it is. There it is.
Yeah. And I have no love for them.
Yeah. Well, in my own research, I was looking at Wikipedia earlier today.
Yeah,
and
I caught that.
They
that
have
mail
like,
you sent to me.
They have like a 7-year history of like terrible advertising campaigns, including like, what was it, like a MILF sale?
No! No way, for real?
When Tiger Woods crashed his car, they had like some sort of Tiger Woods-themed promotion.
They what had, a bunch of jackasses.
I know. They're just terrible. Like, you remember the story about the guy who like... What was it, the airline attendant who got pissed off at his job and, like, popped open a beer and slid down the exit ramp?
Yeah. Was that at Spirit Airlines?
Yep.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. But they did a thing off of that. So apparently they've been there's been jackassery to be had from them for a long time.
Yeah. So basically the airline is run by idiots.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you didn't get into any altercations. And
yeah.
I'm glad you got to travel with a Brompton.
Me too.
No matter how honestly, it traveled like, on the plane, I'm glad you had one with you.
That is the only way to fly,
yeah.
my friends.
Yeah.
If you need to fly from one place to another, take a Brompton.
Seriously. All right. Well, let's do some mail, shall
let's
we?
Let's do some mail.
Yeah.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
I feel so cathartic from that storytelling, by the
I'm
way.
I'm glad you like, told it. Glad
like,
you told it.
I don't even mind that song now.
Perfect.
From Jim in New York, I've spent a lot of my time making music from traditional to now very experimental. Some time back, you talked about the bicycle being used as a musical tool or instrument. I participate each week in an online experimental music community called SoundIn at soundin.org. I think I might be joining.
Yeah.
We create and publish them under Creative Commons each week for public consumption. For this weekend, I did a piece using my son's bike as my instrument, playing spokes, frames, tires, rims, and chain ring with various percussive taps and beats. Often our tracks posted will get remixed, mashed by other participating artists, and become other pieces. That happened, and I wanted to send you the results. So he sent us a link to that?
He did, as a matter of fact. Here.
Oh. Dude, I want to meditate to this.
Seriously. You could just sit here and listen to it. I do like that it's like there's like a kind of a rhythmic thing going on here. Because it'd be very easy for noises like these to not be rhythmic. That's what makes it experimental and not just noise.
Right.
And noise is also art.
So while this is playing, I'm going to finish his email here.
Please do.
You should recognize the percussive bike play early on and reasonably throughout. I use the iOS app Loopy HD on the initial bike jam captures, I believe, 5 loops. In this mash, there are 4 works mixed. The composers are Norbert Oldani, Shane Cadman, Kevin Allenson, and myself.
Oh, that's the other track that he sent us that's this mixed with some other things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The masher is Steve Layton from neighboring Seattle. Oh.
Yeah.
This is... Man, no, honestly, like, I could listen to this, and it's got a very meditative quality to it.
Totally. Let me see if I can find... Oh, here we go. Yeah, this is some of the mashup, I think, of all the different people's works being put together. Mm. So there is bicycle in here, and there are other things in here as well.
Okay.
I could listen to this for a while.
Yeah. No, back when I was like doing my like my physical therapy, and like part of my physical therapy was to like get nerve induction and like deep tissue massages.
Oh yeah.
And like not sonogram, but ultrasounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this was playing in the background, it would just totally complete that experience.
Right. That's awesome. So, yeah. So there's that anyway. So thank you, Jim, for sending that in.
Yeah. This is really good.
Definitely. The next piece of mail that I don't think I put in the notes was we've been talking about rain capes.
And oh, yeah.
Drew was kind enough to lend us the rain cape.
Drew wrote us back.
Yeah. We summarized recently. We said rain capes are awesome. Not quite for us.
Not quite.
And so he came back saying, well, the next thing you need to try is a shower's pass jacket. I think that's going to fit you. It's probably not going to fit me. So you're going to have to be the
for
tester
real?
On this. Oh, yeah. Well, I think he said it was like a medium or something, right?
Medium is going to be a little too big, but it would definitely be small on you.
I would not be able to fit into that. I would feel bad bringing
back. I'll give it a try.
If I brought back a jacket with like the seams or whatever.
The shoulder seams are all torn out.
Bad idea. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, that's a thing that happened. So, and then there was a picture from... Dan in Minnesota. He sent us a picture of his bicycle hibernating. And we're trying to figure out if that means that the bicycle is like put away for the winter or it's just going to sleep overnight. But he does have a very nice park tool stand that it rests on.
He does.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. Nice. I want one of those pretty badly. So here's my idea. We've talked about the Pedal Hub program in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul. There's a bunch of cool people out there in various areas. And I'm thinking... I would love to hop a train with my bike and go hang out in Minneapolis for a while.
And so, you can put your bike on the train now.
You can, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe sometime, I mean, no promises. I don't know what my summer's shaping up to look like, but maybe I should go there.
That would be
maybe
really
you should
cool.
Come along.
Maybe I should.
Make it a Sprocket business trip.
Yeah. We can write this off on our taxes.
Exactly.
If I ever did my taxes.
Right. Do your taxes, folks. Don't evade the law.
Yeah, no.
We're not telling you not to.
That was jokes, folks.
That's
jokes.
For satirical
jokes.
Purposes. Yeah,
jokes.
Well, hey, are we ready to close this thing out?
Sure.
All right.
Can I use this music as an outro or do I?
Oh, would you like to?
I don't know.
Let's do it.
It just feels good.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program via email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com or call or text 250-384-7974. Twitter to us at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. Thanks to Hurt Bird for our headline sounder. And thank you to Marcus Norman, our graphic designer. Or for the graphic design, I guess. No, now you're our graphic designer, Marcus.
Yes.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot, Katrina Mellengard,
Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie,
Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, Cameron Lean,
Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney, Orange and Purple,
Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden,
Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen-Miller, Todd Parker,
Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt, and Zoe Campagna.
And now, Diamond Cut Life and John Blood.
Oh, yeah. John Blood.
Totally.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
So that's it.
All right.
From here to there.
Well, everybody.
And everywhere.
Go brush your teeth.
That's right. And just kind of zen out for a while.
Yeah. I'm going to turn it off just a minute.
Listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.